previously said, I'm Major John Rourke of the Tennessee Army National Guard. I'm a graduate of the U.S. Army's Air Force School. The Armor Officer Basic and Advanced Courses, Mind Armed and Services Staff School, and the Command General Staff College. I'd serve as a tank platoon leader, support platoon leader, cavalry troop executive officer, both cavalry troop and headquarters troop commanders, squadron communications officer, squadron logistics officer, and squadron operations officer. I'm currently serving as a brigade future plans officer for the 278th Armored Cavalry Regiment. I'm also a veteran of two tours to Iraq in 2004 and 5 and 2010. That's a little bit about me, but that's not who I'm up here to talk about today. I'm here to talk about what Jesus has done for me. First thing he did was he saved me over here in what's now the chapel in a Mays Jackson revival when I was 5 years old. And I could end this right here and go sit down because that was enough. But he didn't stop there. He gave me peace. And I'll admit that in 2004, when I first got the word that my unit was going to be deployed to Iraq, I was somewhat nervous. And again in 2009, actually I was scared. I'll admit that. Anybody that's got any sense would be scared. So anyway, I prayed about it along with a lot of other people, and he gave me peace. In fact, I told Preacher Lassley, I don't know if he's here today, if he remembers this, but I was able to tell him that no matter what happened, I was going home. And I tell you what, that's very liberating. It makes it a whole lot easier to focus on your job and doing what you're there to do. And I can't say enough about how that helped me to get through both deployments. Third, it gave me protection. Now, I've heard it said that war is an exercise of inches and seconds. A few inches here, a few seconds there can mean the difference between life or death, wounded, or remaining whole. And I can relate, I can stand up here and relate all kinds of instances, both in 04 and 05, and again, this past year in 2010, where it protected me specifically. But I'm going to focus on two of them there, two of them here. Everybody's heard, I'm sure, improvised explosive devices. Well, I happen to be in two of those attacks. Both occurred in 2005, March 18th, 2005, and October 12th, 2005. Now, this demonstrates exactly how the inches and seconds, because we know who controls both the inches and the seconds in our lives. Going on a patrol to the town of Tecrit. Had an intersection coming right out of our forward operating base, and we were heading up there that morning for several different activities that we had to do. And at the intersection of the two routes that we had to take, coming right out of the fog, less than a mile from the gate of the fog, an IED went off. And if we had been 2 minutes earlier, we would have been hit with that IED. I happened to be in the lead vehicle that day, so you can draw your own conclusions. But I can point specifically to that, and I'll not be convinced otherwise, that God had his hedge of protection around me that day. Same thing, October 12th, 2005, doing a joint patrol with 101st Airborne, who were coming in to relieve us at the end of the tour. Had to go down to logistics support area Anaconda, near Balad, Iraq. Almost the same scenario, except I was not in the lead vehicle that day. The IED went off on the lead vehicle. I was about 20 meters back from the first three vehicles in the convoy sustained significant damage. The first vehicle was almost destroyed. Nobody was hurt, but we were able to hook up to the next fourth truck in line and continue our mission. But again, specific instance. Seconds, a few inches, the hedge of protection was still there. And I credit a lot of that hedge of protection and specific prayers of my wife and my two daughters, who at the church, who I have referred to as the Buffalo Ridge Battalion, making their specific prayers for my sake through both deployments. Every one of you made a difference, and I was able to come through both deployments with no injuries, physically or mentally. Finally, Pastor Jody asked me to speak today as a veteran, two veterans. Of course, Gary stole my line right up front that a veteran is someone who, at one point in their life, wrote a blank check to the U.S. government for an amount up to and including their life. And as we saw a few minutes ago, a lot of these people paid that ultimate price. But there's somebody who did not write a check to the U.S. government. They didn't even have checks at that time. But Jesus gave his life for all of us. And I would say to the veterans in closing, specifically, that at one time, you answered your country's call. Won't you answer God's call today? Thank you. May God bless you, and may God bless America.
I'll be honest. I don't feel worthy to stand before you folks, you precious veterans, those who are serving and actively training. This has been a touching service, hasn't it? And a moving service. Let me say loud and clear this morning that I am glad, thrilled to be an American. This is a great country. The Lord is truly blessed in a wonderful, wonderful way. This is a land where one word rings loud and clear, and that word is freedom. We in America have freedoms that the other parts of the world do not have. One of these great freedoms we're exercising now, the freedom of gathering in a place to worship the Lord without threat of being ambushed and thrown into jail. Thank God for the freedom we have in America.
Amen.
Now let's pray together. Father, help me now. Thy will be done. Holy Spirit, take over the service. Please, may the will of God be done here. Bind Satan, his evil spirits. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's important for all of us to remember that this freedom that we are sharing today did not come free. As a matter of fact, if we could summarize this whole day today, it's under the topic, freedom is not free. There have been several people the Lord has used down through the years to help make America free. Among these people would be the soldier. God has used the soldier, some who are in this room, to help give us the freedom that we have today. Some have even given their lives and paid the ultimate sacrifice to help keep America free. As a matter of fact, there have been several wars in which our own citizens, young and old, have participated to help keep America free as it is today. We can ask ourselves about these dear men and women. Is our freedom that we have in America free? And anybody who served in the armed forces can tell you that our freedom is not free. We thank God this morning for the soldiers, the veterans, for those who are currently serving, those who've departed, those who are actively preparing to serve. What I want to do for a few minutes this morning is I want to take an American soldier and I want to put him on display for all of us to see and show us how freedom is not free. You know, it's an amazing thing to walk through this simple display to see what summarizes an American soldier and how he or she is willing to pay the ultimate price to keep freedom ringing in America. As we do this, what I'm going to be doing is making a biblical comparison from an American soldier fighting for the freedom of America with the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done to fight for the freedom of your soul. so you don't have to spend eternity in the lake of fire. And let me say this with the utmost respect, and I trust with all this service that you'll not misunderstand what I'm about to say. But more important than freedom in America is the freedom of your soul. The freedom so you can go to heaven someday when you die. Now, do you understand what we're doing? We're going to take a literal American soldier, a physical person, and what he does in the time of war for the cause of freedom, and show you that that's exactly what Jesus Christ did for the cause to set you free from your sin. Number one, we notice that the American soldier and also the Lord Jesus Christ, get this, he leaves his country or he leaves his home. You know, the soldier leaves his home and leaves his country and the comforts of it to go across seas to a foreign land to fight for the freedom of his own country. You know, I was speaking to one of our veterans yesterday who was out on visitation, and he told me, I asked him, I said, listen, try to sum up for me, what was it like when you had been gone for all that time to come back home and step off the plane and see your wife? And he made a statement like this, I'm paraphrasing, but he said, you can't imagine what it's like stepping off the plane and knowing that your feet are now on American soil. A soldier is willing to leave his country, the place he loves, so that other people can be free. And may I say to you that in the same way, the lovely Lord Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, according to Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 6, he left his country, the country of heaven, to be born in a humble cattle stable some 2,000 years ago. And may I tell you that the reason he left his country, get it, the American soldier leaves America to help keep the American citizens free, but Jesus Christ left his country, heaven, so he could set the inhabitants of earth free so they can move with him into the country called heaven. The Bible tells us in the book of John chapter 6 verse 32, listen to this please. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believed not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, and of all which hath given me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The American soldier leaves country, leaves home, the comforts of home and country, to fight for the freedom of those who are back at home. But the Lord Jesus Christ left his home, he left heaven, to fight for the freedom of those in the country that he came to, in the place he came to, so he could inhabit his country back home. He wants you in heaven today. He wants you to come live with him for all eternity. Number one, a soldier leaves his home, he leaves his country. Number two, a soldier leaves his family. You know, one of the saddest times in war, no doubt, is when a dad or a grandfather or a son or a mother or a daughter or a brother or a sister, or on and on we can go, is saying goodbye to their loved ones at the airport or at the bus station as they get on board to go overseas to help fight for the freedom of those they're leaving behind. There's no doubt that this is one of the hardest things, if not the hardest thing, on a soldier, is as he or she leaves their family behind. What a heart-wrenching feeling this must be. Now, I know I can't speak from experience, but I know this. I know that when I'm taken away from my family just for a relatively small amount of time, I know my heart aches. For instance, recently, as a matter of fact, just last month in October, I had a meeting up in Illinois. I flew out of Tri-Cities Airport here. I flew out on a Monday and flew back on a Saturday. It wasn't even gone a week. Not even a week. And I still remember boarding that plane. When I was sitting on the runway, I was on the side where the airport is. I saw my wife and my two kids up on the upper patio just doing this. That was hard. But I wasn't even gone for a week. And my heart felt like it was going to come out of my chest. These dear men and women get on a plane. They get on a boat, whatever the case may be, and they're gone for months, sometimes over a year at a time. I can't imagine. They leave their family. Can I say something to you? This is one of the great mysteries of the Word of God. Because we know that the Father and Son are one. But may I tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ, when He came to this earth, He left His Father's side. Can I tell you? He has a seat at the right hand of the Father. And yet, when nobody else could pay for our sin, Jesus Christ said, I'll leave. I'll leave my home. I'll leave my country. I'll leave my Father's side. And I'll go. Because I want them to be free. Number one, a soldier leaves his home. Number two, he leaves his family. Number three, he suffers hardship. By the way, the Lord's alive and doing well today. I asked Him to break me if He wanted to. I didn't know if He would or not. He's broken me. I give Him the praise today. He's been good to me, folks. He's been good to you. And I'm telling you, an American soldier suffers hardship. When a soldier leaves home and family to participate in a war overseas, the key word is a war. He's not moving into a playground. There's no telling what type of hardship he or she faces. Now, I can't say I know because I've never been there, but listen, we know that fighting a war is not a bed of roses. We know that soldiers many times go through some difficult things during their time on the field. Some go without the luxuries of life, such as running water or a soft bed or a roof over their head. I'm sure that some suffer from disease and potential malnutrition. The bottom line is the soldier's not involved in a cakewalk. He's involved in
he or she faces. Now, I can't say I know because I've never been there, but listen, we know that fighting a war is not a bed of roses. We know that soldiers many times go through some difficult things during their time on the field. Some go without the luxuries of life, such as running water or a soft bed or a roof over their head. I'm sure that some suffer from disease and potential malnutrition.
He created it all.
The bottom line is the soldier's not involved in a cakewalk.
When he came to this earth,
he's involved in a war. She faces. I can't say I know this is not even there, but I can surprise that we know that fighting a war is not a bed of roses. We know that soldiers many times go through some difficult things during their time on the field.
Matthew chapter 8, verse 20, and Jesus says,
some go without what Jesus said,
life, and the foxes have honey, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath no other end.
His holy face in Luke
chapter 3, verse 20. He's the King of Glory.
Malnutrition. He created it all.
The bottom line is the soldiers not involved in it.
And yet when he came to this earth, he's involved
in the way he faces. Him with the cat of I
can't say God places us under the common top of the Lord Jesus' life as he was betrayed by Judas Iscariot and was arrested under false accusations in Luke chapter 5. Matthew chapter 8, verse 20.
Then he was denied by one of his own disciples in Luke chapter 22 and the birds of the air have nests.
He was beaten in his holy face in Luke chapter 22, verse 63.
He was spoken to in a blasphemous way in Luke chapter 22, verse 65.
The Bible says they scourged him with the cat of nine tails.
He's betrayed by his nine strands coming out of his
chest.
Each strand would have something tied within it that would lacerate the flesh. They even say, some people say they would tie his leg off at the end of the
hour. He was beaten in his holy face in Luke chapter 9, verse 8.
He was beaten.
time came to align to an alliance to say it's not going to be. They would stretch their victim out for miles, just so sensitive with the cat of nine tails. If someone got like this, I mean, they wrap their arms around something. Just somehow, the flesh and the fat are plain to see. And the Roman soldiers filled with hate lacerate themselves to take his muscular body, his rare back to get a power to put down, and those nine straps would attach to the human body, and he would rip it back, and he would come back down again, and he would rip it back, and he would come down again, and he would rip it back, and over, and over, and over, and over. Nobody really knows how many times they did this.
Christ not only underwent horrific hardships, but he willingly laid down his life on Calvary. He stretched out his hands, and he willingly had spikes driven in them. John chapter 10, verse 15 and following, get this. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And Jesus said, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. See, the Bible says Jesus left heaven. He left his Father's right hand. He came. He suffered all those horrific hardships. And he went to the cross of Calvary, Matthew 27, Mark 15, Luke 23, and John 19. And he laid down willingly, and he let them drive spikes through his hands and spikes through his feet. And he died on the cross of Calvary that day. Now let me give you the main thought. When we consider these major things that summarize a soldier, I'm talking about he leaves home, he leaves his country, he leaves his family, he knows he's going to suffer hardship, and he knows he may die. My question is this: why is he willing to go through all of that? Why is he willing to leave his country? Why is he willing to leave his family? Why is he willing to leave the comforts of home and suffer hardship? Why is he willing to die in that particular battle? Let me tell you why. For the freedom of those he loves most. He's willing to do all of this because he wants his mama and his daddy and his boy and his girl and his grandkids to have freedom. And he's willing to suffer all of that for the freedom of somebody else. And may I tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ, he left the portals of glory. He left heaven. He left the Father's right side. And he had his beard plucked out. And his back ripped off. And his face spit in. And he had spikes in his hands and his feet. Why? Because he loves you. That's why. And he wants to set you free. I'm telling you this morning that the reason he went through this is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And let me say again with love in my heart that even more important than freedom in America, brought about by the sacrifices of the soldier, and I salute you, but more important than that is the freedom of your soul. soul from sin that's brought about by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Please understand the following. First of all, you've sinned. So have I. We have sinned. If I ever ask you, have you ever done anything wrong? Only somebody who's not been around very long would say, I've never done anything wrong. May I remind you, the Bible says we're not good, we're bad. Amen. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what that word sin is? It's the transgression of God's law. Anything that breaks God's law, anything that displeases God is sin. And may I remind you that the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Word of God says in James chapter 2, verse 10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. May I tell you this, folks, that one sin is enough to send you to the lake of fire? That's what the Word of God teaches. If you keep the whole law of God and you just break one point, that's it, just one. The Word of God says you're guilty of all of it. You know what that means? The Word of God teaches us in the book of Galatians chapter 3, it teaches us that the law is not given to show us that we're good. The law of God is given to prove to us we have sinned. We've sinned. Number two, our sin has to be paid for. Romans 6:23, for the wages or payment of sin is death. May I say this? Somebody's going to have to die for your sin. Somebody's going to have to, I'm talking about spiritual death. This word death here is not talking only about physical death. It's also what the Bible calls the second death. It's interesting that the Word of God calls heaven everlasting life, but it calls hell the second death. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Which means every sin I have committed, every sin you've committed, every sin we're committing or will commit, it deserves death in hell. That's what it deserves. And it has to be paid. It has to be paid. But the great news, which is the anthem that's ringing throughout this whole service, is that Jesus Christ, praise God, has already come, and He came to set you free, and He came to die in your place and pay for your sins. The Word of God says in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, we were in sin, Christ died for us. This flag right here, some of you can't see it, but it's a flag dedicated to the POWs, prisoners of war, those missing in action. But what we need to understand is that spiritually speaking, folks, we are all in that shape right there. We're all in bondage. We're all in sin. We're born in sin. You can't help that. You're born in sin. You have broken the law of God. So have I. We all have. And yet, even though we're in bondage to our sin, Jesus Christ stepped into that prison camp. And He stepped in to take you out. He wants you to live for all eternity in heaven with Him. The Bible teaches in Romans chapter 6, verses 18 and 20 through 23, it says, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For in the end of those things is death, sin. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5:15 to 18 says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, talking about Adam and Eve. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, Even so, by the righteousness of one, talking about the Lord, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Romans 8, 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. In other words, if you are in Christ, you have been set free from the law of sin and death, which means you don't have to die, folks, spiritually, because he's already died for you. John 8, 36, I'm about done now, folks. You say, prove it. Okay, I'm right there and I'm going right there, okay? John 8, 36, if the Son, capital S-O-N, therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Those who are bound in sin, by the way, there's two types of people listening to me this morning. You're listening well, by the way, thank you. There's two types of people listening to me. There are those who are still bound and those who've been set free. That's it. I'm a sinner, but I've been set free. And I'm going to heaven when I die. Not because what I did, I've already deserved death. But because he left his home, left his family, suffered hardship, laid his life down, and I've trusted him as my Savior, he has put me in him, and he's as free as a bird. Amen. Romans 10, 9 to 13. By the way, if you reject him, can you imagine being in a prison camp and somebody bust in and said, we're here to set you free. Come with me. And they say, no, thank you. You may tell you why every one of those prisoners would jump at that chance? Because they realize what condition they're really in. Right or no? You may tell you why a lot of people do not trust Christ as their Savior. They really don't see themselves hanging over hell. They really don't see their sin really having to be paid for. When you see yourself as a prisoner to sin and there's no way out for you to make, but that Jesus Christ has come to do what you could not do for yourself, when you realize you're lost and he came to set you free, there'll be nothing to stop you from trusting Christ as your Savior. The Bible says in Romans 10, 9 to 13, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, loosed, set free. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich in all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you have never trusted Christ, whether you realize it or not, you're in bondage to sin. You're in slavery to your sin. It means that your sin has a hold on you and it will drag you to a devil's hell because that's what it deserves. That's what it deserves. Are you with me? If you're not, I'm going to start all over again. Are you with me? You're in bondage to your sin. And yet Jesus Christ came to lay his life down, to snap sin's fetters and set you free. And I'm telling you this morning that Romans 10, 13 says all you must do to be saved, to be set free from your sin, is to call upon the Lord. The Bible says in Romans 6, 23 that the gift of God is eternal life. Are you listening? Salvation is not a purchase. It's a gift. It's not something achieved. It's something received. God sent his Son to die to set you free. But if you reject it, the penalty still remains. Now I'm saying this, and I'm slowly coming to a close. Here it is. Look right up here, please, if you don't mind. What am I saying this morning? I'm saying to you this morning that there are people in our midst today who went into harm's way to help you be able to sit here without threat. And some of those men and women were so courageous, and they have helped give us freedom. And I'm simply trying to tell you this, praise God for their sacrifice. Amen?
Amen.
But we all are in the same boat. We all are born in bondage to sin. And Jesus Christ is wanting to set maybe those who help set us free. He wants to help set them free from their sin. Isn't that a great thought? I mean, honestly. Who in their right mind would say no to Jesus Christ? And if you're here this morning and you say, I don't know the Lord as my Savior, I've got great news for you. He said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So I've been too bad. You don't know what I've done. I don't know what you've done, but I know what he did. And he died for sin. And he wants to save you today. Will you say, here I am. I want to be free. Set me free. And if you'll trust him as your Savior, he'll take the devil in his right hand, the demons in his left, and kick everything else out of the way. And he'll come in and he'll snap sin's fetters and he'll set you free and he'll give you the city called heaven, some glory. Who would say no to that? I'd like you to do me a favor. If you wouldn't mind to bow your head and close your eyes right there. I'm going to ask for nobody to leave unless it's absolutely necessary. Unless it's absolutely necessary. This is the most important time of the service. Let me help folks who may be visiting with us today. The reason we have you bow your head and close your eyes is because this is a private matter. We don't want anybody thinking that somebody's looking at them and all these kind of things. That's why we have you bow your head and close your eyes. You may be sitting there today and you say, Jody, if I died right now just like I am, I do not know for sure that heaven is my home. There may be one here today. There may be many here today that say, Jody, if I died like I am, I'm concerned that I would not go to heaven. But if you're sitting there and you say, Jody, I realize I'm a sinner. See, it only takes one. If you realize that you have sinned, that you've done something wrong in your life, but that in your heart you believe that Jesus did really come. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He willingly laid his life down. And that he did that not only for the world, but that he did it for you. If you'd like to be saved today, you can. As a matter of fact, the Lord wants to save you this morning. Do you understand you can be saved right there in the privacy of your seat? Do you understand that? Matter of fact, what I'm going to do is I'm going to form a simple prayer. Now, please understand me. Please listen very closely. If you're sitting here right now and you say, Jody, I need this. I need to be saved. I need to be set free from my sin. And just like these soldiers left home and suffered hardship and were willing to die, I understand now that Jesus did this for me. Just like those soldiers helped keep America free, he did it to set me free, and I need to be set free today. I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. If you know that, and that's what you want, God sees your heart. This is just a sample prayer that you can pray. And I'm not going to ask you to pray it out loud. As a matter of fact, I'm going to encourage you not to pray it out loud. I'm going to encourage you to pray it silently at your seat. But along with that, would you pray it sincerely? Would you really mean it from your heart? Folks, if you mean this prayer, he'll save you. You say, Jody, it's too simple. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. All you've got to do is receive it. And the way you receive it is asking for it. That's what he said. Will you pray this with me? They're going to begin to play through as softly as they can. As I pray this prayer, right there at your seat, you can be saved. Here it is. Please don't play games. This is you becoming a child of God. Right there at your seat. Pray this prayer. Here it is. Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner, but I know that you have come and you have died for me. The best way I know how morning, the Bible says that those who trust Christ as their Savior should never be ashamed of it. Are you listening? He left heaven, left his Father's side, suffered tremendous shame just to give you this opportunity to bow your head and trust him as your Savior. Folks, you should never be ashamed to say, I just trusted Christ as my Savior. Why would you be ashamed of him? He was not ashamed of you. Is there one today? You say, Joni, I prayed that with you. Now I understand this. We're not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I promise you that. You have to believe me on that. I hope you'll trust me. We're not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you at all. If you're here today and you say, Joni, I prayed that with you. And I meant it. The best way I know how, I prayed it. I meant it. I'm not ashamed. I'm just set free from my sin. Is there one, two, three? How many is it right now in the privacy of your seat? If that's you, be honest. Would you raise your hand in the air for me, please? Raise your hand up, please. Put it up, put it right back down. God bless you. Thank you. Somebody else. Somebody else. You say, Jody, I prayed that with you. I prayed it with you. Jesus Christ to come home. Anybody along with this one, you say, Jody, I prayed that with you. Best way I know how. I'm not ashamed. Anybody along with this one, would you raise your hand, put it right back down. Anybody else? God bless you. And you. And you. Thank you. God bless you. Somebody else. Just put it up and right. God bless you. Thank you. Somebody else. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Somebody else. Somebody else, we're not going to come to your seat. We're not going to embarrass you. Somebody along with these several hands that's gone up, would you raise your hand? God bless you. Thank you. Somebody else. Somebody else. Somebody else. God bless you. Thank you. Somebody else. Somebody else. Somebody else. I believe the Lord's working. No doubt about it. Somebody else. Say, Jody, I pray. I'm going to lift my hand saying I'm not ashamed. Wasn't ashamed of me, I'm not going to be ashamed of it. Anybody else along with these several? Anybody else? Anybody else? Let me ask you this question. If you just raise your hand to that question, I want you to do me a favor. Would you do this? If you just raise your hand to that, I want you to lift your eyes and look at me. Would you do that? You've already raised your hand. I'd like you to lift your eyes and look right up here at me. Now again, I'm going to keep my word. I'm not going to come to your seat. Okay? But I want you to see that I see. Here's what we do here. We don't want any pressure. You understand that? We don't want any pressure. We don't believe in it. You see what I'm saying? We try to guide you and help you. I'd like to be the very first to welcome you to the family of God. Because if you prayed that, you meant it. God just saved you. He really did. Do you believe that? That's what His Word says. Now, just a moment, we're going to have what we call an invitation. Okay? Let me explain to you what that is. We have personal workers that come forward. We have men and ladies. And I'd like to invite every one of you. You don't have to do this, but I would encourage you to do this. I'll tell you why. We've got something we'd like to put in your hand. Something to encourage you. Something to help you along your new life with Jesus Christ. It's a soldier's New Testament. By the way, saved today and these dear folks step out and say, I'm trusting Christ, will you be happy to say a big amen? Amen. See, the devil's a liar. He'll try to make you think, oh, don't do that. You just embarrass yourself. See, here's the thing. I'm not asking you to do anything that I've not done myself. We ought not to be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Do you agree with that? You're not ashamed of your country, are you? Are you? You ashamed of your country? War is a lot bigger than your country. You're going to heaven. Isn't that great? We're going to ask you to come. If you do this, put a man with a man, a lady with a lady. You're not going to have to say anything. You're not joining our church. You're not. Yeah, listen, we won't even let you join our church today. It's not what it's about. It has nothing to do with that. This is just you saying, I've trusted Christ as my Savior. By the way, there may be somebody sitting beside you who may be dealing with this. Step out, they may come. I hope you'll do it. I hope you'll come. I really do. Don't be ashamed. God, help you not to be ashamed. Please, don't be ashamed. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, help us now. Help our altar workers as they come forward. May the will of God be done. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Nobody's looking. I'm down front. As Brother Gary sings, if you have just trusted Christ as your Savior, don't be ashamed. In your place and say, I'm trusting Christ. Right now, as he sings, come on. Come on out. Step out now. You say, this is me. I'm not ashamed.
I was intimidated to come forward. And
somebody know that I trusted Christ? Why don't you take this card, put a star at the top of it, but you put the information out, drop it off at the Welcome Center. Okay? Oh, I hope you're glad you came. What a great service. Amen. No doubt about it. You've got some information here. Praise the Lord. No doubt about it. Jordan, is it BB?
Yes.
Jordan BB, if you wouldn't mind to stand there just a moment. Brother Bob's going to stand with you. And Jordan, you are coming today the best way you know how, and you're receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. So you're asking Him to come into your heart, correct?
Yes.
And now you are going to heaven. Whether you see it or not, you're not going to see it physically. He's come into your God bless you. May be seated. Neil Harrington. Where's Neil? Neil Harrington's coming today. And Neil, the best way you know how, you're praying today and you're asking the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. It's a thrilling thing. We want to help you with this. Encourage you. Now, hey, you're on your way to the devil's hell. Now you're going to walk on the street of transparency. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Philip Nelson. Over here, Phillips, with this group that came from Bristol. Appreciate you all coming. God bless you. Phillips, coming today, the best you know how, you're asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart today. Outstanding. We are thrilled for you. This is a great, great thing. Great day in your life. Hope all of you write this date down. Don't ever forget it. Timothy Thompson, would you stand, please? Where's Timothy? Timothy, sharp looking young man. God bless you. You're coming today, and the best you know how, you're asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart and forgive your sins. You're receiving Him as your Savior today. Wonderful. Praise God. We're thrilled for you. Amen. George. What's your last name? Zoller. Zoller, you said? Lawler. Lawler. Okay. You're coming today, and the best way you know how, you're asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart and forgive you, and you're receiving Him as your Savior. Amen? Right? Outstanding. Outstanding. God bless you. You may be seated. I was telling folks, if we have this day and one person walks the aisle, it's been worth it. Amen? No doubt about it. One person. Praise the Lord for it. Praise the Lord for it. I'm going to do something awkward. Not going to take the offering. Okay? Not going to do it. Not going to do it. We'll take it tonight. How many of y'all thought you'd ever come to a Baptist church and they would cancel the offering? Would you raise your hand? Oh, it's a miracle! We'll take it tonight. Okay? I'm on cloud nine. I want you to know that. Praise the Lord. Let me remind you, first time guests, please, please take your card out to the Welcome Center. We've got a special gift for you. Trust in Christ. Please put a star, your name, and all that. What I'm going to do is give you a few announcements, and we're going to bless the food here, and then we're going to send you on your way. Everybody who is connected with military, all these young people here, I'm talking about anything has to do with military, junior ROTC, this group from Bristol, veterans, currently serving, active duty, your families, and anybody who came with you. I'm talking about you invited somebody in their military. We're having a special, special dinner for you in the gymnasium. I want to encourage you to go out the doors, outside the parking lot, straight across, right over to the metal building. You've got it set up for you over there. We'll dismiss you in just a moment. If you rode the bus, an adult or a teenager who rode the bus who is not connected with military, would you raise your hand? You rode the bus and you're not connected with military. You folks are going to the chapel. We've got a special thing over there for you, okay? Not anything to eat, but I believe you'll enjoy it, all right? The chapel is the smaller auditorium. Just go down the hallway, take a left into the chapel, okay? All right? So the bus ministry going there. Everybody connected with military over the gym. Everybody else, please remember to go by and get your children. We're dismissing early. Don't forget your kids. And take them with you. And let me say this to you. Please be back tonight at 6:30. special message tonight. I hope the Lord will bless you. He's blessed this morning. Praise God. I encourage all the first-time visitors and those who made decisions to put your card out on the Welcome Center. Got a special gift for you, okay? Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed in prayer. We'll go ahead and bless the food. And please, military, please, and everybody associated, please stay with us. We've got enough food for 300 people over there. Please stay with us. Oh, we run out. That's a good problem. Hope I don't run out, but you know. I mean that in a good way, you know. Let's pray and bless the food. Father, thank you for this day. Help us now, I pray. Bless the meal, bless the food, and those who prepared it. Thank you for a wonderful, wonderful day. Help us to rejoice in it, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Please shake somebody.